Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bomb.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Not only has LA versus Boston fired up the sports ball fans in the area, it has given our local newscasters in town a great chance to flex their accent muscles.
The Dodgers will take on the Red Sox first on their turf right there in Boston.
That's right. Yeah. Boston, right?
Boston.
Boston.
Yeah.
Game one of the World Series from Fenway Park.
We're live at Fenway Park.
Fenway Park.
Fenway Park to see the green monster up close.
Let's see if we can find some wicked smart Dodgers fans.
So if you're about to jump in your car.
Don't leave your car in the yard out there, Bob, Rob.
Have some clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
Clam chowder. Some chowder.
Clam chowder.
Boston. Boston, you're going down. That's my best accent, no?
Yeah, no. Definitely no.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch Room Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Red Sox win last night. We'll spend a lot of time talking about that today.
I do have some quick breaking news.
Yes?
I just got a text, and tomorrow, for the first time in I don't know how long, the return of Dan Roach.
Oh.
Hey! All right! I have been begging to get him on the show. Begging. Knowing that he is just in his happy place. And literally, I had the phone in my pocket so I didn't see it. 20 minutes ago, I get a text from him saying,
wait a minute. He must be going to L.A., right?
Yep, yep.
So he will be on with us, what, 4 in the morning Pacific time tomorrow?
He will be on to with us, it sounds like, in the 8 o'clock hour
wow.
tomorrow, which will be, yeah, the 5 a.m. hour.
Good for Danny.
Out in Los Angeles. How right. awesome is that? Finally, Mr. Dan Roach returns to the show, and maybe we can talk to him a little bit about the nipple-piercing palooza that he wanted to
nice.
Be involved in with Brock Holton.
Maybe
and
that's
Rick
why he wants to come on. He wants to send it out there. But
that
is
it.
Good news. So. All right. There was, you know, there's been a rainbow the last 2 days. People were saying there was a rainbow over Fenway Park, and, you know, I'm not one to believe in the supernatural. I'm not one to believe in signs, but I'm starting to turn around on that because yesterday the 2004 championship team was honored at Fenway Park. Pedro Martinez, David Ortiz, Kevin Millar, Tim Wakefield, Jason Veritek, Keith Folk, all out there, and Schilling wasn't. Even though he lives in the Massachusetts area.
The excuse was brilliant by the Red Sox, too. Brilliant.
Yeah. He said it was just kind of organic. You
no,
know,
no,
just
sir.
Kind of came so, up. So they reached Shaughnessy wrote something on it this morning. And so he talked to like a Red Sox executive and the answer was we did not reach out to him.
Yeah.
They said, but it's not out of spite. It was originally just going to be Pedro and David and Wake and Millar, but we heard from a few others and they were included. So to that, Curt Schilling tweeted last night, no big deal, I get to keep my 3 rings and 3 trophies, so it's all good. But
do you, or do you have to sell them?
To pay back Rhode Island.
Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps the fact that you've completely alienated one of the states that is that the Red Sox depend on for television ratings,
yeah.
And you've led to the partially responsible, at least, for the bankruptcy. You know, maybe that would have something to do with it.
So his wife, Shonda Schilling, weighed in on Twitter saying, quote, ownership sure didn't have a problem with him when slicing and shooting up his ankle to pitch. Always better to fly 8 men in rather than ask one that stayed and raised his family here 16 miles from the ballpark. Now, I've seen a lot of sanctimonious people come out this morning and saying, why are you not including Curt Schilling?
It's because of
utterly ridiculous.
Because he went bankrupt and took money from Rhode Island, even though it goes against everything that he preaches politically.
Or maybe because he publicly sold his Nazi memorabilia online and posted memes that got him in trouble.
See, because, but then you'll but, go, you're see, the problem with that argument is then people will go, well, you're punishing someone for their political beliefs. And so, but I like to think of it as you're punishing someone for their abject stupidity and taking advantage of a state that is giving you money based on your celebrity, it would appear.
Or how about several of those people were already going to be here? You're making it sound like they reached out and flew, like, Millar here.
I hope they did. No, I hope they did. Well, I hope they flew them all in.
They didn't. They were going to be here anyway.
They should have. Well, I don't care. They should. I wish they would fly the whole team in and leave him stranded at home.
And to that I say, all right, well, you know who else wasn't invited? Manny Ramirez. So it's like, I mean, it's not like they, it was just the entire team and they just left you out. It's
I think you're missing the point.
The guys who are going, I know it's
the point is not to defend the Red Sox for not inviting them. It's obvious why they didn't invite them.
Well, it is, but I'm also pissed off at all of these people who are like, well, come on, Red Sox, what are you doing not inviting Curt Schilling?
Because of Rhode Island.
Well, that's probably part of it.
I would bet you that's a gigantic part of
it. But you have absolutely no case to sit there and bitch that you weren't invited when Manny Ramirez wasn't there either.
Fine. I wish Manny Ramirez was invited.
That would have been very
fun. I wish that he was
standing
right there.
Listen, I'm with you.
I wish the whole team was out there. Yeah. And then all at once they gave that idiot the finger.
Plenty of them weren't out there, but if Manny Ramirez isn't there, just shut up.
I wish he was. I wish they had every member of the living member of the Red Sox standing on the field.
Oh, hang on. Is this
and some people that were dead.
Is this who I think it is online, too?
Tommy, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going this morning?
What's up, Tommy?
I think he may have had to sell that ring to fix the trailer and pay for me to get down to Tennessee last December, that comeback.
Yeah, that's right.
You're the guy.
You are someone who drove down. You were driving down to Houston to help. Your truck broke down. You had the trailer, and you needed the trailer back for your business, and Schilling just left it there.
He's a scumbag.
Yeah. There's no question about
that. So don't forget that. And remember, you know, this whole, you know, he can do all woe is me. He did it to himself. This is all stuff that he did to himself to become persona non grata.
I think Fred's on to something, though. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, helping throw out our first pitch tonight, Lenny DiNardo. You know, just DiNardo does stuff for Nesson. It could have been easy to show him right out of the field. It would have been
wheeling
great.
Wheeling the team from 1918.
Yeah.
Just wheeling the coffins.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Castillo pitched two games for us in 04.
Absolutely. Just you bring them all in and have them all sit there. And then Schilling can do his Breibart or whatever the hell it's called show.
Yeah.
Where he picks his nose and sits there.
Curtis Luskanic. Bring them all out.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it all.
I just love what the guy told Dan Shaughnessy. He said, we did not reach out to him. But it's not out of spite. Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you don't reach out to him. You reach out to everyone else but him, that dummy. You know it really bothered him.
Well, just get ready, because last night he definitely gave restraint on Twitter. All he put out there was, well, at least I get to keep my three rings and three trophies. Well, it's good. You get ready for this morning. Now that the story's a story, he is one of those guys that is going to be the in-your-face Twitter machine.
Woe is me.
Yes.
Look at this. The left is coming after me.
Yep. He's going to make it political, and it's going. And to that, I just say, sorry, dude. This is all on you. Everything you did, this is there was a reason you weren't invited.
And if it's a leftist conspiracy, well, your biggest error you've made was doing something that the right abhors, and that is taking public financing to develop your private business. I mean, you took a handout from the government. So there you go, Mr. Schilling.
You took people's money and had no plan whatsoever when it came to helping out the Houston Hurricane things. You wanted to be a superhero, and you basically made this guy leave his trailer on the side of the road. Months later, filled with supplies, you abandoned the supplies that people gave you money to deliver, and you didn't.
Well, in fairness, he had a lot of dog crates. So that was the big thing, and he got to donate them to a animal shelter. It's a good thing that instead of raising money, he just took it upon himself to play a hero.
That was pretty funny, because last night when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, this is going to be a thing. Like, he's gonna lose his mind tomorrow, and I don't know when he does his little video chat thing, but where he picks his nose on video. And
I hope he does. That was glorious. Keith Folk, all these guys, Kevin Millar, God bless them all. But Schilling lives in the area. Good, let him rot in that area.
Jeez,
that's exactly what it is.
I mean, it's just...
I don't know who that guy is, but I know way more about sports. Yeah, well, you know what? Guess what? You and I threw the same amount of first pitches last night. Stupid. All right, well, Rich, well, obviously what happened last night, we will discuss World Series Game 2.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back.
Touch and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Head into Dunkin' today and sink your teeth into some delicious Halloween donuts available for a limited time only. These donuts are scary good. Operation Reputation Redemption is near complete for David Price.
Kemp reaching for it. Devers to his left. A 1-2-3 sixth for the left-hander Price. And an eight-pitch inning for the 33-year-old. 4-2 Boston into the bottom of the sixth at Fenway.
It was actually the Chili Peppers performing right in center field, and then Anthony Kiedis got kicked out.
Right. Well, this is the one place they could go without getting kicked out.
Yeah. Well, we've gone past the ridiculous and entered the absurd with the Boston Red Sox. Almost every element that was destined to fail has now been a success. Every Achilles heel now a secret weapon, and no one came into the postseason with more doubts than David Price, who last night killed it in Boston's 4-2 win. Price lasted six innings, allowing only two runs on three hits. But he wasn't the only Red Sox pitcher who came in with the lowest of low expectations, only to absolutely blow them out of the water.
Rondell strikes out. And Joe Kelly with a 1-2-3-7.
There was some debate if Kelly was going to be on the postseason roster.
He was the last guy added.
Yep.
I mean, give the front office full marks. I mean, I don't know how you looked at that bullpen. On July 31st, I looked this up, July 31st, Joe Kelly had an ERA of 4.5 and had just finished giving up 17 runs in his previous 22 and a third innings. And for some reason, the front office looked at that and went,
"We're cool.
We're cool. We don't need anybody." And Matt Barnes gave up 10 earned runs in August. And for some reason, the front office looked at that and said, you know what? He's fine, too.
Yeah.
And they're both going to be fine when it matters. I don't know how you do that. If you look and you see Kelly, Barnes, you know, Brandon Workman, Heath Hembree, Tyler Thornburg, and you go, you know what? We don't need any help. We're going to be fine in October. God bless them. They were right.
By the way,
I don't know what they saw, but it worked.
Joe Kelly, if you just need a reminder of how awful he was this season, he posted ERAs above 8 in 3 months this year. June,
yeah.
July, and September.
June and July,
above
he was
8.
Abysmal. He was awful in those 2 months.
And he came in last
and
night.
And he was the last guy awesome. Added to the postseason roster. And Cora, if I remember right, said, you know what? Stuff plays. He's got an electric fastball. We're going to need a strikeout at some point. You know, we don't have too many guys like that, not knowing that Eovaldi was going to pitch out of the bullpen. We don't have a lot of guys like that other than Kimbrel. We may need Kelly at some point, and Kelly has evolved into this monster. It's amazing.
He's living up to the potential that that was always there.
11 pitches, 8 strikes, and 3 quick outs, and it was good night from Joe Kelly. But what might have been even more astounding than two of the most maligned players of the season finding redemption might be the statistically amazing way that the offense is scoring.
That's into that center field, a base hit. Two outs, don't bother the Red Sox, 2 strikes. Don't bother the Red Sox hitters.
So last night, the Red Sox scored all 4 of their runs with 2 outs. As a matter of fact, this has been a ridiculous trend because the Red Sox have scored 36 of their 68 runs this postseason with 2 out, including 9 of their 12 runs in the World Series alone. And with two outs, they're batting .415 with 11 walks in the postseason as well. That's pretty amazing. So after last night, the Red Sox have won 9 of their 11 playoff games. They're only 2 victories shy of their 4th World Championship this century. And history is on their side because no one has lost a World Series being up 2-0 since the early 80s. Also after yesterday, this is kind of ridiculous. The Sox are now 14-2 in World Series games since 2004.
Nothing stops them. Nothing makes them swerve. Everyone who goes in there contributes.
Every managerial decision is sound.
Alex Cora has been rolling sevens for about how many months? I mean, whatever he does,
like
works.
I'm expecting,
it's
like
amazing.
For some reason, they've had so much good luck. I'm expecting just them to crap their pants 4 games in a row and it'd be over. Like it'd be like absolutely just get killed. The bullpen get rocked. Everyone fall apart. Because how do you play this well for this long when you're? It seems like you've been walking on a tightrope. With players like Price and the bullpen, and
I mean, how does JD Martinez come up with the bases loaded against the same guy in back to back games?
Yeah.
I mean, he strikes out in game one, but gets another chance against the same guy in the same situation. I mean, he's the best RBI guy in the entire American League, maybe in all of Major League Baseball, and he comes up with the bases loaded in back to back games and gets to make up for a failure the first time.
Well, here's David Price afterwards talking about that 4th where he got out of a jam.
Just told myself to continue to make pitches, and I made a lot of good pitches that inning. They hit some, took some. Just that was a tough inning. It could have spun, you know, out of control pretty fast, and you know, it's been one of my Achilles heels, you know, especially in the playoffs and even in the regular season. It's just that big inning.
Also, as you were mentioning, John, we got a dominant inning from Nathan Eovaldi, which means Rick Porcello will pitch Game 3. And last night, Alex Cora made it official.
The way it's mapped out is Rick on Game 3 and maybe Nate Game 4, but Nate might come in the 8th again. If we have a chance to be up 3-0 with him on the mound and Craig, we'll do it. And then we'll figure out Game 4.
I love that. Go for the throat. It's what he's been doing all the postseason.
Game 4.
What's that? Oh, it'd probably be Eduardo Rodriguez, I would guess.
Mm. And then you just like throwing a big combo.
In your mind that Eovaldi pitches Game 3, you know, blows him away in the 8th inning. Kimbrel comes in, shuts the door. They're up 3-0, and then Eduardo Rodriguez pitches Game 4 and throws 6 shutout innings.
Yeah,
Fred, is there any doubt in your mind that that's going to happen?
Even if he throws 2, you've got a bullpen that can't lose right now.
Honest to God, the way things have been going. Rodriguez will throw 6 shutout innings on Saturday night.
That is the way that things are going. However,
you know what? Dan made a good point. Drew Pomerantz is going to come out of the bullpen.
Wild thing.
Erod will be 6 shutout innings, and then they'll bring in Pomerantz, and he'll throw a flawless 7th and 8th. It's amazing the way things are going.
There's been a lot of talk lately about how Alex Cora is going to handle his lineup in Los Angeles, and according to MLB.com's Ian Brown, all that chatter about Mookie Betts playing some second base in the World Series may have been for nothing. That's because rather than throw Betts into a starting role in the infield for the first time in 4 years, Alex Cora is more likely to just start Jackie Bradley Jr. on the bench. Well, once again, this is according to Ian Brown of MLB.com. Bradley, of course, despite those 3 game-changing hits that helped him win the MVP in the ALCS, he entered yesterday with a .161 batting average and a .753 OPS. So without
making it easy for him, it's a sitting Jackie Bradley. That makes it's really easy to sit a guy who's sitting under .200 in the playoffs.
Okay, here's the only thing I'm concerned about with that is that so you've got JD Martinez. He's going to move to the outfield because apparently Alex Cora hasn't warmed up to the idea of Mookie playing second base. Which, if you noticed last night, when JD Martinez had to run, do you remember how he hurt himself in Game 1?
Yeah.
He came up kind of slow, and I don't know if... And by the way, this report came out before last night's game, so I'm wondering if Alex Cora, after he saw just how gimpy JD Martinez is, whether he still feels safe having him play outfield.
Yeah.
Because that might make you rethink things when you realize that injury might be a little worse than he thought it was. Obviously, you don't want to take him out of the lineup because he's such a destructive force offensively. But putting him in the outfield, you might want to question whether he's got the kind of speed you want right now. What?
Who's saying that? Why do you want to put him in the outfield?
Well, not why do you want to put him in there. That's what they're saying. No. Ian Brown is saying you would put him in the outfield.
No, I know, but who's questioning that decision?
Me. I'm saying after you see him run yesterday, I wonder if he's having second thoughts.
I wouldn't. He could be out there on crutches. I'm not taking him out of the lineup. Hell no. I don't care what situation he is. I don't care if he's gimpy, so he lets in a run. I mean, you know,
he'll make up for it later.
That's sure.
He'll come up with the bases loaded again as sure as we're sitting here.
Yeah, I mean, you're not. I'm not taking him out of the lineup because he's in stupid right field. I mean, I'd leave that alone. I need his bat in that lineup.
So you're going to have Betts in
center.
Betts in center.
JD Martinez in right.
Yep.
Problem solved.
Yep, that's what it looks like.
Ian Kinsler's getting hits now. It's unbelievable.
And by the way, it's not like the Sox haven't been down this road before. I mean, in 2007, against the Rockies, Euclid had to sit on the road after he had a great ALCS and to make way for David Ortiz. Napoli did the same thing, had to sit in St. Louis to keep Ortiz in the lineup once again. So now Bradley will likely have to give way to Martinez, who, of course, is Boston's best run producer. So that will be it'll be interesting to figure out whether that's the case. But according to Ian Brown, that is the decision that was made before Game 2 yesterday. So we shall see. Here is Rick Porcello talking about pitching in Game 3.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you dream about. That's the work all the way through, basically starting at this time last year, coming until now. Get that one opportunity and make the most of it.
All right, have we found Brock Holt's quote yet, by any chance? Okay. Brock Holt yesterday, this is actually, it might have been after Game 1, but I just saw the quote yesterday. You know how Mookie Betts stole a base and won everyone a taco? He was asked about whether he was going to get his free taco, and he said, with all respect to Taco Bell, Taco Bell will give me diarrhea.
So, used the word?
I just think he said, with all respect to Taco Bell.
Well, he's like, he said, I'm sure he goes, I don't want to, because he knows they're probably like a spot. Well, they are a sponsor.
Yeah, you think? You think they're a sponsor, considering it's the biggest promotion surrounding the World Series? I think that they might be somehow paying Major League Baseball.
He said this, he goes, I haven't eaten Taco Bell in probably 10 years, so yeah, I'll probably stay away from the free taco. I'll let everyone else get it. He said it'd be different if it was Chipotle. He goes, I'd have to take my son there because he loves Chipotle. He crushes it. He's 2 years old. He eats a whole Chipotle bowl by himself.
And God.
And he said, but no Taco Bell? He goes, yeah, no Taco Bell. I'm going to stay over Taco Bell. I'll end up on the toilet all night.
So not only does he crap almost literally on Taco Bell, he also gives out
a free plug to Chipotle.
A free plug
their
to
their competitor.
What you would think is a competitor.
Yeah.
I just thought that was great. At least he was honest.
No, I bet you the league is like, you stupid idiot.
By the way, you know how there is a severe lack of Taco Bells anywhere near here?
Yes.
I just saw a sign there opening one downtown. There's going to be one in downtown Crossing.
Oh, nice.
Right by the downtown Crossing, right by the Filene's Jordanage, as the chili guy would say, right at the Macy's over there.
They used to have one right by Newton North. And then cruelly, as soon as I moved into the Newton area, it got closed.
Is there one near me? I mean, we got everything else near me. Is there one?
No, there's one in Framingham on Route 9.
It's further down, but it's close. Yeah, that's
it's
what
close
I'm saying.
Enough.
That's near me. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one in West Roxbury.
Oh, I know where that one is. Okay.
If I really wanted to,
no, I know exactly where that one is.
Yeah, that's like probably a 15-minute drive. Yeah. Half an hour round trip's a little long.
No, it's true. I have a friend of mine that lives in West Roxbury. I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, that's a little. Yeah, I don't know if it's worth a half an hour round trip to get some Bell.
The one Taco Bell that used to be near me was in Cambridge. You had to, there was no drive through, so you had to pull in, stop your car, go in, wait in line, get your tacos. I have driven all the way to Saugus before to go to drive through Taco Bell.
Oof.
And that's where you have to go, like, you know, that road, you can't like take a left off of it if you're going north. It's got that chain link fence or whatever.
Yeah,
you got to
go
get
around.
Off an exit that's way the hell far away and come back through. I've done that before. Oh, there's one in Everett?
Well, oh, hey.
Everett,
of course,
you know, heaven is a place on earth.
Of course there's one.
Is it near the monolith? I mean, that's one-stop shopping.
There
right
is
there.
One? No, there isn't.
Framingham doesn't have a drive-thru, by the way.
Oh, okay.
In my experience. And then it's a KFC Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go in there, if someone's driving you and you go in there, you're a little intoxicated. There have been more than one time that I was just throwing bones out the window at the passenger side.
Oh, yeah. You're double dipping.
Was just crap all over me.
Oh, I've done, you know, it's that place is great because you can double dip with just one drive through. I've gone to McDonald's and got something before and then hid it in shame as I drove through Taco Bell so I can have two different foods in one meal. Like, you kind of sneak it down by the passenger seat.
That's so pathetic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course it is. It's pathetic. Like, I don't want you to think that I'm like a fat ass and I've double dipped my lunch.
How long ago was this?
Oh, it's been about 2 years.
Because no, 2 years.
Oh, dude, I used to do it all the time about 10 years ago.
Is this
all
before,
the time,
before or after you wound up in a hospital?
That had nothing to do with.
Okay,
hospital. That was because I was eating basically tar and nut nuggets.
Okay,
like a pound of it every morning
I'm
with
just
those
thinking
Cliff Bars.
Maybe the diverticulitis might have popped
no,
up.
No, I know exactly where that came from.
Okay,
when was the last time you had fast food?
I the Chick-fil-A. I eat Chick-fil-A a lot.
Yeah, I wish I could. What do you get? You get the grilled chicken?
I get a mix. I get a grilled chicken and I get a fried chicken deluxe with a slice of cheese on it. It's so, it might be the best single menu item of any fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
Is the deluxe fried chicken sandwich with cheese, lettuce, and tomato.
Chick-fil-A is good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, is it good? There's not enough of them. There aren't. And I know they're getting bigger, and I know that they're trying to spread. There's just not enough of them.
I'm told there are 4 Taco Bells on the North Shore near Topsfield. I mean, they're spreading.
It's Topsfield, man.
Yeah, what good does that do for us?
Oh, that's true. It's a good point. It's too far for you.
That's not even the metro area, really.
Oh, I've done this. Someone said there's one in the Natick Mall. I've driven to the Burlington Mall for Chick-fil-A.
Oh, my God.
Before they open. I'm not kidding. For a while, that was the closest Chick-fil-A there's for a like years.
There's a Chick-fil-A in West Roxbury, right. I think, too. All right, here are the headlines.
Kutcher and Rich.
Oh. 98.5 Sports Hub, we're Kutcher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
By the way, we have a quick follow-up of the Taco Bell Brock Holt story. He said he was asked about whether or not he was going to go get his free taco because Mookie Betts stole a base in game one. He says, I haven't eaten Taco Bell in probably 10 years, so yeah, I'll probably stay away from the free taco. I'll let everyone else get it. And then he was asked, he said, well, if it's Chipotle, he goes, I would do it. I'd have to take my son there because he loves Chipotle. He crushes it. So he's 2 years old, eats a whole Chipotle bowl by himself. I would give him my free Chipotle. Once again, the competition to a major sponsor of the World Series, and then after that they said, so no Taco Bell? And he said, yeah, Taco Bell, I'm going to stay away from Taco Bell. You'll end up on the toilet all night. So he was asked yesterday, Brock Holt, whether or not he had heard from Taco Bell about what he said, and...
I don't think I'll be trying Taco Bell. I'm sorry, Taco Bell. I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm sure a lot of other people love it. I deleted Twitter. I'm sure if I had Twitter, I would hear something, but I deleted Twitter last year, so I don't know if Taco Bell has an Instagram, but they haven't messaged me or tagged me anything, so I apologize to Taco Bell. I'm sure a lot of people will get their free tacos.
What a shirt that says, I apologize to Taco Bell.
Well, that's... You know, it's the new thing is that you got to get your apology right. What is this shenanigans with Taco Bell causing diarrhea, by the way?
I've never got...
No, neither have I.
Like, I have eaten like mounds of Taco Bell in my life. I mean, matter of fact, if I had to stack up the amount of food I've eaten at all of the fast food restaurants out there, Taco Bell might be number one. There was a period of about 15 years of my life where that was my go-to.
Yeah, Taco Bell is my biggest. Everyone gets diarrhea from everything.
Like, I want to sure this is that.
Like, but no, I'm serious.
It's
like,
a scientific study?
I'm serious. It's like, oh boy, you're going to be on the toilet. No, I'm. What are you talking about?
Yeah, why are you like? What's wrong with your digestive system?
Exactly. Like, why would you know? Millions upon millions of people eat that. Like, why is that giving you diarrhea? It happens all the time. It just occurred to me. Like, it happens all the time. Like, oh, boy, you ate that? You're going to be on the toilet. No. Oh, you had Indian food. I eat Indian food at least twice a week. What's your body doing to you?
It just hates you.
Yeah, like, I'm not, you know, obviously in the world's greatest shape. I don't have the world's greatest diet. But I'm not sitting around getting diarrhea every day. I mean, seriously.
By the way, our listeners are on top of things immediately. They're like, hey, guys, here's where the closest Taco Bell is. They got the Taco Bell map up there.
Oh, we used to have the app, remember?
I had the app, and I was trying to find. And then there was something. There was one that was right over by BU that we used to send Nick back in the day on Taco Bell runs, and they shut down. And so now everyone's like saying, hey, did you see that it's opening in downtown Crossing? Because I mentioned, I'm like, yeah, I saw it a week ago, and I'm like a kid at Christmas. I'm counting down the days till that thing opens.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring my son there for the first time and give him his first Taco Bell. It's going to be a moment.
It really will be.
It's a double-decker taco. And I'm just going, hey, he's probably going to be like, yeah, fine, Dad.
All right.
I put that in front of my kids. And
well, all I know is that I will be a frequent contributor to the accounts of the people who work at that Taco Bell. So the Sony Michel, it looks like everything with him and Rob Gronkowski is going to end up better than most people dreaded. As we were mentioning yesterday, we have a little more info. Apparently, both of them missed practice yesterday, but the news continues to be positive on the injuries. According to a league source, Michel may miss a week or two, while Gronkowski has a shot to return to Buffalo on Monday. Now, that is his homecoming. And Rob Gronkowski, I have a weird feeling, will probably want to get out there and play in front of his bros. On top of that, the man has incentives that he has to reach. So if it's his decision, wouldn't you see him opting to play that game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Far more for the incentives. And that's the mistake the Patriots made, is that rather than, you know, resting and... Because you got to put... Obviously, everyone knows this, but Gronkowski's unlike other players in that you kind of have to... You save him. Like, Sale needs extra rest now. Like, Gronk needs extra rest.
Sure.
And so by giving him those incentives, they kind of screwed up.
And it's the perfect game to rest him as well. It's a game where they don't need him. So let him rest for 2 weeks. Get his back right. Who do they play the
week
after?
Green Bay Sunday night. Well,
there you go.
And rest him there, too. Because they suck.
Well.
Their defense is lousy. That's true.
No, they suck.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely disappointing.
Yes.
But they're one of those teams that I believe can turn it around. Like, they've got the potential to be able to turn it around.
The Lions got snacks because they think that they can win that division.
Yeah. Green Bay's banged up. Receiver especially. Green Bay's banged up.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Patriots, any rumor involving the Patriots and Patrick Peterson that we were talking about yesterday seems to be all for naught, according to Tommy Curran. He said that he talked to a source with the Patriots, and they have not had, quote, a single conversation about Peterson. Now, that definitely contrasts with the reporting of Peterson's cousin, Brian McFadden, who is an analyst for CBS Sports. Now, he's not a reporter, and he's not really even plugged into the Patriots organization. However, he is the cousin of Patrick Peterson, and he claimed that the Patriots were aggressively pursuing him. Now, don't you think that it ups your value, or if you want to get out of town or something, to say that the Patriots want you, doesn't that benefit your cousin?
I'm going with Curran on this one. I'm not going with the relative.
That's the thing, too, is that, I mean, obviously, Peterson, if he does want out, probably wants it out there that the Patriots
are
trying to do that so they can get some sort of offer to get him off that awful team that he's playing for. But that was fun while it lasted. But then again, you know how these things are. No one at the Patriots is going to say, yeah, we've been looking at this guy.
They're going to have to, and that's too, I mean, how is Peterson now?
He's still really good.
Because
who knows? Sometimes these guys drop off.
Sure.
So you have two number one corners, and you got to finagle that money? I don't know.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, you have to really move some money around. Patriots have, what, $5.5 million under the cap, and Peterson's cap hits over twice that. So I don't know how you would do that, but I'm told, I guess, you can shuffle money around and make it happen.
All right, Rich, what do we got coming up for the people?
Oh, you end up wandering into somebody's house in the middle of the night and get hit with a vacuum hose. You end up getting cut from your team. We will give you details and more salacious things about what went on with that dude from the Broncos after this.
Yeah, it's a shame. Be listening this morning after the break for your chance to score a pair of vouchers for Warren Miller's Face the Winter film presented by Volkswagen. You'll also be qualified to win a trip for two to Sugar Bush. Warren Miller's Face the Winter is coming to the Boston area November 1st through the December 16th. For tickets and tour info, visit warrenmiller.com.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Touchdown Rich. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of vouchers for Warren Miller's Face of Winter film presented by Volkswagen. You'll also be qualified to win a trip for two to Sugar Bush. Warren Miller's Face of Winter is coming to the Boston area November 1st. Through December 16th. For tickets and tour info, visit warrenmiller.com.
Before we get to the stuff with the Broncos and that dude who got arrested, there was a interview that the pitching coach for the Dodgers, Rick Honeycutt, did with Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated yesterday and was talking about Kershaw's first Fenway experience, and he took the opportunity to complain
about how close Red Sox fans sit to the bullpen. Quote, it's brutal, pretty brutal. What I don't understand is why baseball allows it. You've got the rubber right there and people literally standing all over you. So he was taunted with, of course, Kershaw and all that stuff. Yeah. And it was like, wow, you're complaining about taunting on the road at the World Series?
Being mean to me.
You don't say.
Stuff like that doesn't happen in New York, for example. Well, at Yankee Stadium.
Wherever the hell they call where the White Sox play, there's a bar.
U.S. Cellular Field.
That has a window that's, I mean, on the bullpen. I mean, there's a big, huge... Yeah. Pane of glass.
Safeco Field has the same thing.
I mean, girls take their shirts off and put them on the glass right by the bullpen. I mean, that you could bang on it. Yeah. You can. I mean, it's right there.
That's remarkable. Well, Honeycutt's been around. He should know better. Well, that's crazy.
What about Tampa? Don't they have like people sitting at like these high top tables right where the their bullpen is? Isn't it basically along like the third baseline right there? If I'm not mistaken,
it's like a picnic area off beyond the foul line, right?
I think I'm right about this.
The Cubs have their bullpen is right past third base.
Yeah, there are a lot of, I think AT&T Park is the same thing. There are a lot of bullpens that are out in the open there next to the fans. Now, what is Honeycutt talking about?
Well, there is one thing I am surprised at, and I don't know if you've seen it. And Dan, I don't know if you've seen it. Has anyone ever fallen into the bullpen? Because that I could see happening. Every once in a while, at a game, someone gets a little drunk, and they are right there, but I mean, they're far enough away from these guys where it's a functional bullpen, obviously, but it wouldn't surprise me if someone took a header over the side of it and actually fell into the bullpen.
I seem to remember during one of the many Red Sox-Yankees series in the early 2000s that happened, but don't quote me on that. I seem to remember there's something happening in the Fenway bullpen when the Yankees were in town all those years ago.
That, to me, is just a butthurt coach. That is a guy who just is looking for something to complain about.
My starter, you threw him off his game.
Mm-hmm.
Be quiet, Red Sox fans.
All right, so now back to the dude, backup quarterback Chad Kelly, who's got a record of being kicked off of teams and doing awful things. And when his brother was once playing in a high school football game, he ran onto the field and started picking a fight with a guy who he thought was a dirty hit. Well, he has now been kicked off the team. He has been cut. Let's go to the news.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
This is Marco Torres, and it's his home where Broncos backup quarterback Chad Kelly allegedly came in uninvited at 1:15 in the morning.
Was your wife scared? Or?
Tell you that much. She was really, really scared.
Yes.
She was with my son in the couch and... Yeah.
And he just walked in?
He was there. She woke me up.
According to the arrest affidavit, Kelly was mumbling incoherently, and Torres hit him in the back with an aluminum vacuum tube, then kicked him out.
So was he drunk?
You know, I have no idea. Then.
The Broncos released this statement saying, quote, we're disappointed that Chad Kelly was arrested early this morning. Our organization has been in contact with Chad, and we are in the process of gathering more information.
Yeah, apparently prior to the arrest, Kelly was involved in a fight with a guest while at that Von Miller Halloween party, the cocaine-themed Halloween party that everyone's tisking. He also got into an altercation with security at the party while being escorted out. So there you go. After he got kicked out of the party, he goes over to this person's house, sits on the couch where there's a woman and a baby at like 1 in the morning, and then this dude shows up with an aluminum vacuum tube and then smacks him on the back.
I just think it's funny that that's the first thing you could find is an aluminum vacuum tube. That's the first thing in the house. But there is something honorable about getting so wasted that you have no idea where you are.
How do you figure?
It's honorable?
Yeah.
How do you figure that?
Because you have to be so out of your mind. Just to drunk to such a degree, the idea that you're functional enough to walk at all when you just decide to randomly go into a house is instead of just getting tuckered out and sleeping on someone's lawn,
sure,
barfing and then like waking up, the idea of going into someone's house and just sitting on the couch,
yeah,
you're thinking, wow, this guy's really going for it. And also, how do you have a cocaine-themed party? Is it just cocaine?
Well, I mean, they showed a picture of one of the players was Bobby Brown, and he like had some coke with him. And then there was another player who dressed as, what is the character's name? It's on the Chappelle Show. You got any more of that?
Oh, yeah, the crackhead guy.
Yeah, the crackhead guy. So they had one dude who was dressed like that. And It was Emmanuel Sanders who was dressed as the dude from the Chappelle Show.
Okay.
Well.
All right.
Costume was pretty good. Got to be honest. Looked just like him. Somebody just tweeted said, Rick Honeycutt is right. Who allows a stadium with fans so close to the bullpen? MLB needs to address this. Oh, wait. I forgot Fenway's been around since 1912.
He said something like, they're closer now than they used
How?
To be. I don't know.
Oh, I think
when's
the last
time they changed the bullpen? When is the last time they changed?
They haven't.
It was
put out there in the 50s.
Understood, but has there been any, because I can't remember, has there been any kind of construction that's moved there? I'm giving this guy all the benefit of the doubt in the world to not sound like a moron.
Why? Why are you giving him any benefit of the doubt? Honeycutt's a major leaguer that pitched in the 80s at Fenway Park for Oakland. I don't understand. Well, Honeycutt's pitched for a lot of teams when he was playing, but all that stuff makes no sense.
So it said Jeff Weaver fought a guy in the bullpen.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Okay. That when Weaver was pitching for the Yankees. I remember this. Okay. That's right.
So some dude got into the bullpen.
Yes, he got into the bullpen, and Weaver, you know, who's a very large individual, you know, beat the crap out of him, if I remember right.
It's like falling in the lion's cage at the zoo.
Yeah.
Jeff Weaver?
Yeah.
Very thin man.
Still big.
Not tall.
You thinking you could take him?
Take anybody.
Ah.
All right. No commercials here, just the headlines. We'll come back with a recap.